Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This message comes from BetterHelp. Can you think of a time when you didn't feel like you could be yourself? Like you were hiding behind a mask? At work, in social settings, around your family? BetterHelp Online Therapy is convenient, flexible, and can help you learn to be your authentic self, so you can stop hiding. Because masks should be for Halloween fun, not for your emotions. Take off the mask with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
Hey there, and thanks for joining us for this episode of 13. This is part 4 of a 5-part series. If you haven't listened to the first 3 episodes, go back and do that first. We'll still be here when you get back. And as always, if you don't want to wait for the weekly releases, the entire series is already available on Patreon. So join up at patreon.com/13pod for the entire series right now, along with a bunch of other great rewards. And again, since we're recording these credits in advance, here's Ian from the future to tell you about our amazing new patrons.
Hey everyone, Ian from the future here. I know that last week I said that we weren't going to do patron names again until the November episode, but I don't know why we said that. I just read the script, but I also write the script. So don't know why that's in there. Anyway, we'd like to thank Lonnie Benz, K-Cup Chuck, Bliss, Samantha Richard, Kathy Terrell, Thomas Mahoney, Karen Christofferson, Kate Bird, Holly B., Living Dead Boy, Saliente, and Mona Lisa Frowns. Thank you so much for your support. Hey, have you enjoyed the character Kaylee in our show? That is Shelby Novak. And if you enjoy hearing Shelby's voice here, you're going to love Scary to Sleep. Scary to Sleep is one of my favorite spooky audio dramas. I've been listening to it since before we were making 13. You should check it out. Look for Shelby in the show notes and check out Scary to Sleep. Anyway, back to... maybe Brooke, maybe Bridget from the past. I don't remember. Bye. Oh, it's still me. Where'd everybody go? Well, anyway. Hey, big thank you to Ominous Thrill Podcast for the shout out on their October 17th episode. Ominous Thrill is a monthly anthology of horror, thrillers, and suspense brought to life each week. Each episode delivers a thrilling new character-driven story that spans psychological horror, thrillers, and suspense. Think Black Mirror meets American Horror Story, where the monster is always close to home. Check out Ominous Thrill wherever you listen to podcasts. Just a reminder, we do content warnings at the bottom of the show notes, so check that by scrolling all the way to the bottom of the show notes. If you don't think that you're in the right headspace for this series, please take care and pass it by for now. You can always come back later. Is anybody back? No? Okay, then. This is part 4 of The Secret Game, written by Ian Epperson, narrated by me, Brooke, nope. Narrated... Here you... Oh, hey, everybody, they're back. They came back. Take it away, Bridget.
Narrated by not me, Brooke Jeanette. Kaylee is Shelby Novak. Abby is Kayla Temshiv. Mrs. Lander is Emma Shrijarko. Jess is Carly Coulihan. And Emma is Abigail Blythe. Are you ready? Sit back. Turn down the lights. And now, on with the show.
Thank you.
I had another dream about Emma that night. This time, it was just me and her. We were both adults, the ages we are in the present. Or I guess, the age that she was. We were on a beach somewhere, walking on the sand, and it didn't seem strange that we were together after so much time. Dreams are like that. It was just comfortable. We didn't say anything to each other. We were just there, just together. The sun was setting, and the sky was getting dark over the water. There was a pier in the distance. It was nice. It felt good. I don't think I knew that she was gone in the dream, but I could tell that this moment was precious, that it wouldn't last. The next morning, I woke up at my regular time. It was still dark out. I'd gotten used to sleeping in. When I checked my phone, I saw that the group thread with Abby, Jess, and Kaylee had been going all night. Jess had tried another Reddit post. She asked if anyone else had tried the mirror ritual from Ella and the Secret Game. No responses yet. We learned that since there are so many legends and stories about mirrors, it's almost impossible to research one particular ritual. She tried another approach and Googled mirror demon and mirror spirits, trying to figure out a name for what might be causing this. But again, there was just so much. At a certain point, too much information has the same effect as no information. If no one responded to Jess's Reddit post about Ella and the Secret Game, we would be on our own. I kept scrolling through the group thread while I got ready. They'd been going all night. There was one bit of information that seemed to be helpful. Jess learned that ever since the invention of both glass and mirrors, there have been stories about them being gateways for spirits. Kaylee had chimed in and said that this explained why she'd seen Emma through glass. This explained a lot of what Kaylee and Jess had described. If there was some kind of mirror spirit or mirror demon, it could torment you through glass as well. But what about Abby hearing her dad's voice over the phone? And what about someone walking out of my childhood closet? Why wasn't it confined to glass and mirrors for us? Kaylee posted links to several articles that looked like they could have been old GeoCities or Angel Fire accounts. They had information about curses and how to reverse them. This is basically what we're talking about, right? Whether we want to call it a curse or not. After that, Kaylee went silent for the night, probably falling asleep. But Jess and Abby kept going. Jess found some other articles that may or may not have been more reliable sources, but at least the websites looked like they were made in the last decade. Finally, Abby said that we needed to figure out how to fix a ritual if we did it wrong. And in this case, we'd done it wrong by doing it alone. Jess posted a link to another Reddit thread she'd created. If you perform a ritual incorrectly and bad things happen, how do you fix it? She went on to say that if any of her partners or patients found these posts, she'd be ruined. Almost immediately, responses came pouring in. People suggested surrounding your house with salt, or keeping symbols and wards around to counteract the curse. But there was one suggestion that came up over and over, and it seemed too simple to be true. If the curse came because you did the ritual wrong, do it again, but correctly this time. Abby and Jess had both stopped posting after 2 a.m. It looked like everyone had a long night except me. I'd laid in bed reading longer than I should have, and I was going to need to hurry to get ready for work. It was my first day back to work since Emma died. I took a shower and got dressed. mindful of my reflection in the mirror when I checked myself before walking out the door, looking for anything unusual, anything that didn't fit. But everything was just as it should be. I took 65 North into the city. It slowed down around Brook Street and St. Catherine as the freeway made its way through the old city. The sun rose over the buildings downtown. It was Friday morning. When I got to my desk, there was a card that everyone in my department had signed while I was gone. I'd never actually told them what was wrong, just that there was a death of a close friend. Other than the card, no one mentioned it, and that's exactly what I'd hoped for. It didn't take long to get back into the routine of my workday. I had a mountain of emails and messages to get through, but once I caught up, I fell right back into my normal routine. My phone started buzzing around 10 a.m. Kaylee was the first one to post in the group chat again. "Wow, you all really dug into it. It's going to take me a while to catch up." I realized that I hadn't responded yet either. I typed out that I'd read what I could before work, and I'd get all caught up as soon as possible. Jess responded to say that she'd stayed up way too late and she was going to be worthless today. We couldn't exactly pull all-nighters like we used to. Abby agreed and posted a half dozen crying emojis. As lunch came and went, and as I got deeper into the day's work, I started to doubt myself again. It's hard to believe in ghosts or spirits while you're at an office job. Everything is too sterile, too fluorescent. In the light of day, the conversation last night felt silly. Sure, maybe I'd grown up programmed to believe in evil spirits, but I stopped believing in all of that years ago. That impulse may raise its head initially, but no matter what I'd seen and what I'd heard from my friends, I just couldn't help but default to a skeptical mindset in the end. It's just who I was. I stayed a little late at the office to get caught up. The sun was starting to go down on my drive home. I'd been so wrapped up in Emma's death and going back and forth to my hometown that my apartment had become a bit of a wreck. I put a long overdue load of laundry into the washing machine, and I started dinner. I looked out the kitchen window while I washed my hands. Enough leaves had fallen from the trees that I could really start to see the buildings on the next street over. They were a lot like mine, 2- and 3-story old brick apartment buildings from the 19-teens and 20s. I noticed a light come on in a window on the next street, the same one as earlier in the week, but now there were fewer leaves blocking my line of sight. I watched a woman walk into view. It looked like it was also a kitchen window. She seemed to be doing something in the sink for a moment, washing her hands too, maybe. It wasn't long enough to do any dishes. Then she walked away and turned off the light. I finished my own dishes and put some water on the stove to boil pasta. My phone was buzzing on the counter, the group thread still going. My phone hadn't been this active since I was in college. It was nice to reconnect and feel like I belonged to the group again. The thread had veered off topic a couple of times, but it had come back around. The last place I'd really paid attention was when Abby suggested we do the ritual again, just like the posts online suggested. If you do a ritual wrong, the best thing you can do to fix it is to do it again, but the right way this time. We were talking about playing the mirror game again. Jess said that it couldn't hurt anything. If we've already awoken something or opened some portal, well, it's already awake or opened or whatever. It was really starting to sound unhinged. And honestly, Jess was the last person I expected to buy into this. Kaylee responded, But what if it does make it worse? Abby, even if something happens, maybe we'll end up with more information to figure out a solution. Kaylee, or something will reach out, grab us, and take us to some other dimension. Jess, we should watch Poltergeist. That reminds me of the TV scene. Abby, absolutely not. Kaylee, where would we even do it? I don't think my hotel will work. There's a nightlight built into the light switch, and it won't get completely dark. Abby, my bathroom has a window. It won't be completely dark either. I don't know what came over me, but I started typing out a response. We could use my mom's house. There was a response almost right away. Jess, is your mom going to be okay with that? It occurred to me that Jess and Kaylee didn't know mom was in a home now. I gave them a little update and told them it would be fine. Mom would never know any different. I felt a sudden pang of guilt that I'd spent so much time in town this week without visiting her again. Kaylee jumped in. As long as you think it'll be okay, it might be the best thing we have. Abby agreed and then changed the subject. Emma's mom had reached back out to her. Since she still lived in our hometown, she was the only one still in touch with Emma's family. Abby said that we were all invited to a wake at her house after the service. It was still the house where Emma had lived when we were kids, where we'd played the mirror game in the basement, and where we'd sat up late at night so many times, taking photos with our Polaroids and disposable cameras, talking about our crushes and our futures. It's funny how little of it actually came true. In a few minutes, we all agreed on the plan for tomorrow. We'd go to the funeral, we'd go to the wake at Emma's mom's house afterward. Then we would go to my mom's house and we'd play the mirror game. And while we were at Emma's, maybe we'd see if anything jogs our memories. I ate my dinner on the couch and turned on a show I'd been watching. The conversation in the group thread turned toward the funeral tomorrow. Kaylee had packed clothes for the funeral, and she sent a mirror selfie. She had on a dark purple jumpsuit, classy and kind of bohemian. She somehow manages to look put together and like she'd be ready for the beach at the same time. Everyone told her that she looked great. She asked what everyone else was wearing. Jess responded, "I groaned. Not about how she looked, but about how I was going to feel next to her." Of course, Jess looks polished. Wide leg black slacks, heels, and a white scoop neck blouse with a blazer. It's all tailored and it's all modern. Next, Abby responded with a photo of her outfit, laid out on her bed. A simple black A-line dress and the most appropriate black pumps I have ever seen. Next to it, she's laid out a tan cardigan. I noticed that Kaylee was the only one to stay silent as we talked up Abby's outfit. I rolled my eyes. I should probably get my outfit ready too. I went through my drawers in my bedroom, and then I went to my closet, as if I were expecting to find something new, something chic or modern, or at least from this century. My work clothes were nice, but way too corporate. So I put on my favorite jeans. These were also my date jeans. I worried they may not feel appropriate for grieving. I tried another pair. Dark wash jeans, my pair of nice flats, and a blouse I bullied myself into buying last year when I was getting tired of my usual style. It's a little more frilly than I usually go for, and it was way too expensive. But it's nice, and it's black, and I have a cardigan that will look good with it. I arranged the outfit on my bed, just like Abby had, and I sent a photo to the group. My phone went quiet for a few minutes. It had been going nonstop most of the day, so I noticed the silence. I looked at the clock. It was only 9. Maybe everyone else was exhausted from last night's research session that went into the early morning hours. I was tired too. I got my dishes from the coffee table in my living room, and I took them to the sink. While I was there, I saw the light come on in the building behind me again. The same one as before. Then, I saw the same woman's silhouette in front of the window. She put something in her own kitchen sink. Then she turned away and left the window. The light goes off again. Is she washing her entire kitchen one dish at a time? I dismissed the thought. Not my problem. I started washing my own dishes, and then I saw the light come back on. Same thing. She comes to the sink, she fusses over something for a few seconds, she leaves, and the light goes off. But for the first time, I really notice it. It's not just that she's repeating herself. It's exactly the same. The same motion. The same amount of time. It's like I'm watching a loop, a video playing over and over again. A feeling of dread comes over me. It begins in my chest and then spreads out to my arms and legs. I feel lightheaded. My vision starts to go red with adrenaline. Another loop begins. Lights on. She enters my line of sight. She leaves. Lights off. I think back to the group chat last night. Someone had said that glass and mirrors can act in the same way. Who am I kidding? It's just someone doing their dishes, right? But then, lights on. I lean in over the sink and try to make out a face, make out any kind of detail about her. I watch what she's doing, looking for any little change, a movement, a turn of the head. I count seconds. 1/1000, 2/1000, 3/1000. I get all the way to 16. Then, lights out. I wait. Lights on. 1/1000, 2/1000. All the way to 16. Lights out. I have an idea, one that I hesitate to go through with. Lights on. I reach up and pop the lock on the window. She comes to the sink. I move as quickly as I can to pull open the window, and I get my fingers under the frame. 1/1000, 2/1000. I pull up on the frame and the window slides up. And just as the glass passes out of my line of sight, it changes. The light was on, but the moment I wasn't seeing it through the glass, the moment there was open air between us, the light in the next building was out. It didn't make sense. Or worse, it did make sense. I pulled the window closed. The light was back on. Oh my God, how is this happening? The woman was there in the window too, but she was different. She wasn't fussing over something in the sink. She was staring straight at me. She had a wide, feral grin across her face. It took me too long to recognize her. It was Emma. I wasn't thinking. I was just moving. I found my keys and I shot out of my apartment door, down the stairs, and out onto the street. I was hyperventilating. I shot looks up and down the street, behind me. I spun around. I was looking for her. I was looking for danger, but the street was empty. I got to my car and I got in and I just started driving. I had no destination in mind. I just needed to be away from there, away from that window. Away from my apartment. My phone was in the passenger seat and it started buzzing like crazy. Every couple seconds, there was a message. I finally got to a parking lot at the edge of my neighborhood where I felt safe stopping. When I looked at my messages, the group thread was moving fast. It was happening to them too. It was happening to everyone at the same time. It wasn't the same thing. Everyone saw something different. But she'd appeared to all of us. Kaylee was lying on her bed. She looked up at the hotel mirror, and Emma was standing right next to her. Abby saw her on TV. She was watching a show, and Emma walked into the frame and right up to the edge of the screen. Jess saw her out the window, standing on her lawn. She grabbed a weapon and opened the front door. When she did, Emma was gone. But just like it happened to me, as soon as Jess closed the storm door, as soon as the glass passed over her line of sight, Emma was standing dead center, looking in at her. No wonder the group chat had gone quiet. We were all in the middle of our own personal hauntings. Everyone else had done the same thing. We'd gotten out of wherever we'd been, and we were all just driving around aimlessly. Kaylee was sitting in the hotel parking lot. No one wanted to go back home tonight. I knew a place we could go. I sent Mom's address to the chat. Not that any of them needed it. We all knew each other's childhood homes by heart. I looked down at myself. I was basically wearing pajamas. I didn't even have shoes on. But there was no way I was going back to the apartment. Not tonight. I started the car again, and I pointed my headlights toward the nearest freeway. And then, from our different cities and our different lives, we started making our way back home. We were all seeing this thing in new ways. It was getting worse, and I was starting to worry that we weren't safe anywhere. But if we weren't safe anywhere, maybe we were better off together than alone. While they waited for Jess and I to drive home, Abby and Kaylee were already in town. Kaylee went to the church parking lot, the place where we'd spent so much of our childhoods. Abby went to the waterfront and parked in the shadow of the old church building too, but out of sight from Kaylee's headlights. She could see the river from where she parked, where we used to look out on the dark water. She watched the lights twinkling on the Indiana side of the river. Lights that hadn't been there when we used to walk that railroad bridge half our lifetime ago. The two of them were so close to each other, only a couple of blocks apart. But in another sense, they were as far away from each other as they'd ever been. But the church was a place where any of us might feel a sense of safety, even though none of us were religious anymore. And that church, it's where Emma's funeral would be held tomorrow. As I was getting close to town, I sent the group chat a new message that I'd be at Mom's house in 10 minutes. We all arrived at about the same time. One by one, headlights pulled into the driveway and parked on the street. The four of us went inside together. There wasn't much to be said. Until that point, all of our conversations about the mirror game had been theoretical. What was it? What did it do? Was there a spirit behind it? But that night, we stopped talking theoretically, and we started to make a plan. We didn't have all of the information we'd like to have, nowhere near it. But we also didn't have time. We could tell that this was building towards something. Kaylee asked, why didn't we just all go our separate ways? Hadn't it been better then? But what if we went our separate ways and it didn't get better? What if we had to come back again anyway? Why waste the time? It had something to do with Emma's death. It had to, because that's when it all started up again for us. We couldn't put it off any longer. We'd take every precaution. We'd do everything the right way. No cutting corners. In the next 24 hours, we'd have one more sleepover. And we'd have one more game.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of 13. If you like what you've heard, stop what you're doing and leave a 5-star rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. This was The Secret Game Part 4, written by Ian Epperson, narrated by Brooke Jeanette. Kaylee is Shelby Novak. Abby is Kayla Timshev. Mrs. Lander is Emma Sherjarko. Jess is Carly Coulihan, and Emma is Abigail Blythe. Editing and sound design by Brooke Jeanette. Music by Caleb Ritchie. We're going to wait until the November episode to do our producer-level patrons, but thank you so much for your support in the meantime. Click the link in the show notes to learn more about joining us on Patreon. Check us out on social media. You can find us at Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, under Pod13, and you can join us on Facebook in the Facebook group at 13 Podcast. Just look for the logo and you'll find links for all of those in the show notes. If you'd like to submit a story to be performed on the show or contact us about anything else, get in touch at info@13podcast.com. You'll find submission guidelines and other info on our website, 13podcast.com. You can find that in the show notes too. Bridget Freeman is in the kitchen in the building next door. Thanks for listening and see you next week.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.